to speak on the subject, Betwixt Two. I'm going to enjoy this message tonight because I'm preaching about heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Last two messages I've preached have been as rough and cutting and hard as anything I've ever preached. I can't hardly listen to them. I preached last night at Calvary and preached on me first, and Sunday night about how your unbelief can cause hundreds of people to be killed, and so it's been kind of rough and tough, and so I'm going to preach about heaven tonight. Hallelujah. That's where I'm going. Are you going? You know, if you're going somewhere, you usually want to find out a little about where you're going, and I'm glad the Bible tells us about where we're going. So let's look here for a little bit in this passage tonight. Philippians 1:19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not, I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two. There's our text and the title of the message. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Betwixt two, Paul's a prisoner in Rome, but he's not complaining about it. He's making the very best of his circumstances, and God's using him in a wonderful way. Philippians is the epistle of joy, gladness, and rejoicing. Isn't it wonderful that Christians can rejoice no matter what their circumstances are? In richness, in poverty, in health, in sickness. It doesn't matter. When you're right with the Lord, you can smile at the storm. Happiness depends upon happening, but joy is the fruit of the Spirit. And this is an epistle of joy and rejoicing and gladness. Paul is a prisoner. He knows that as such, he may be executed at any time. And he was executed as a Roman prisoner. But he doesn't seem to be a bit worried about it. He doesn't say anything here that would make us think that he's apprehensive. He asked him to pray that he'd be released. That seems to be the logical thing. But he knows it's in the Lord's hands. And he's just not worried or fretting one little bit. If they kill him, then he's going to be with Christ, which is far better. And if he stays, he's going to serve God with what he has where he is, and he just leaves his future in the hands of the Lord. I like that verse in Psalm 31 that says, "My times are in thine hands." Lord, it's up to you whether I live to be 80, 70, 60, 50. That's up to you, Lord. We don't have to worry about that. Why, if we had to take care of things like that, we'd never sleep. But you can just know that God knows what's best and just leave it up to Him. And being a Christian is a no-lose situation. You can't lose. If you die, you go to heaven. And if you're here, then you have opportunities to serve the Lord, love the Lord, trust the Lord. And the rapture could take place at any moment. So we're in a no-lose situation. Amen. When you were a sinner, you were in a no-win situation. But now, as the song says, I'm a winner either way. Well, this is really some fundamental things, foundational, but I just want to go over with you and walk through these verses. You know, there are a lot of people who don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. I guess since they attacked the doctrine of hell, the next thing to do would be attack the doctrine of heaven. There are some very famous people who have said publicly they didn't believe in hell, or they thought if it was real, it was some remote island somewhere. I think they need to go back and read their Bibles again. John L. Rice wrote a booklet years ago about heaven. He sent it to the publishers, Moody Publishers, and they said, "Mr. Rice, you've made a mistake. You have capitalized the word heaven throughout this booklet." Dr. Rice had a degree in literature. He knew what words should be capitalized and not. He said, "Leave it like it is. Heaven should be capitalized." They said, "No, it shouldn't." He said, "Do we capitalize the word Dallas? Do we capitalize the word Memphis? Do we capitalize the word Portland? Don't you capitalize the names of cities, states, and countries?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Leave it capitalized because heaven's a real place."
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Leave it capitalized. But a lot of people don't believe in heaven. This fellow told me not so long ago. He said, "I hate all them songs about heaven." And he's a preacher, so-called. He's a Seventh-day Adventist preacher, and they don't believe in going to heaven. And he said he hated all them songs about going to heaven. Well, I love all them songs about going to heaven. Amen. Did you ever notice just about everything Squire Parsons writes is about going to heaven? Just go find out some of his albums. Just about everything. Look in your song book. If it's not about the cross and being saved, it's about heaven. Amen. Well, I believe in heaven. The reason he's not a bit worried about what's going to happen to him is he knows where he's going. There's no doubt about it. And who wouldn't trade prison for a mansion in heaven anyway? Amen. I guarantee you nobody's ever gone to heaven and wanted to come back to this old world.
Amen.
No, sir, they'd not come back. But there have been accounts where people were brought back to life, resuscitated, in this modern day of medicine and so forth. I had a preacher friend. He had three people during his ministry who died, went to heaven, and they brought them back. And he said, the amazing thing is, he said, all three of them told me exactly the same thing. And he said they didn't know each other, never met each other, and had no idea what the other ones said. I don't know if that's true or not. That's possible. There's some good evidence for that. I do know there's a heaven. I do know that. I do know that when you die, you go straight to heaven if you're saved. I do know if those fellows went to heaven and came back, they were mad as a bull at that doctor for bringing them back into this old world. Nobody'd want to come back to this world after you've been to heaven. I know we're going to die, but that's the body. That's the tent. That's not the real you. You see through your eyes. Your eyes don't see. The body is mortal, corruptible, and shall return to dust. The real you, soul and spirit, will never die. Amen.
Amen.
You will live on after death in heaven or hell forever and forever. When you close your eyes in this world, you open them in the next world. The very split second. No interlude, no pause or waiting or lapse of time. No soul sleep, like a lot of denominations teach. This fellow asked me a few days ago, he said, "What's wrong with the Jehovah's Witnesses?" I said, "Everything. Everything." And that's one of them. They teach soul sleep. They teach you die, you're dead, you just die like a dog. And you sleep in the grave till the great resurrection. Well, there's no such thing as a general resurrection. And sinners love that doctrine because they get to sin all they want to and die and not have to go to hell. That's what they're told. And listen, any doctrine that encourages sinners to sin is of the devil.
Amen.
Yes, sir. So the Bible teaches, when that rich man died, he opened his eyes in hell. And when the Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. There was conscious existence and awareness immediately after death. I love that story. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he rejected Christ.
Amen.
And Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was a beggar. He went to heaven because he received Christ. as his Lord and Savior. Well, when they died, it was reversed, and the beggar became a rich man, and the rich man became a beggar. He wanted one drop of water. Well, Paul says here, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So to die is to gain perfect health, to gain perfect understanding and knowledge, is to gain perfect fellowship. What will it be to be perfect? It'll be wonderful, won't it? I think that does not appeal to the world. In fact, I don't think sinners would enjoy heaven. They can't sin. They wouldn't like it. But that's what the soul of a Christian longs for. Perfection. Wonderful, unhindered fellowship with God and the saints of old. So it's going to be gain in every way. What is it to die? It's just to leave behind your troubles and your sorrows, your pains, all your fears and tears and sins and worries and burdens. Don't feel sorry for somebody that went to heaven. Feel sorry for everybody that got left behind. Yes, sir. This is the land of the dying. They've gone to the land of the living. This is not the land of the living. This is the land of the dying. We're all terminal. No generation. The Bible says there's none abiding. We're like a shadow, a vapor that appears for a little time. We'll soon be gone. The whole purpose of life is to prepare for death. So, never feel sorry for somebody who goes to heaven. Yes, Lazarus was a beggar, but he became a rich man, which reminds us that we're heirs and joint heirs. We're in the wheel. And I like that song that says, "Shake hands with the poor boy that owns everything." Did you ever hear Milam Hayes sing, "I'm a mighty, mighty wealthy fellow"? We're going to be so rich when we go to heaven. The pavement is gold. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
The stuff you walk on under your feet that you wouldn't think nothing of in this world. The road's going to turn to gold. I don't like them songs about build me a little cabin on the hills of glory. Jesus didn't say in my Father's house are many cabins. He said in my Father's house are many mansions.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
I never had enough of that to spoil me, but Jesus said mansion, and I'll settle for that. Amen, won't you?
Amen.
Yes, sir. And our mansion's going to be so big, it's going to make the Biltmore house look funny. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. If Jesus does it, it'll be done right. Yes, sir. I'm reading Ralph Sexton's autobiography. He grew up in the 20s and the 30s. And he talked about how it was just basically all you could do to survive and find food. And he said when we had supper at night, he said some nights it was cornbread and beans and other nights it was cornbread and taters. He said we never had cornbread, beans, and taters all the same night. There's no way. But thank God when we get to heaven, we're going to have cornbread, beans, and taters every night.
Amen.
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 I don't know what we're going to eat. I do know it'll be good. I do know we will eat. Because the last chapter in the whole Bible talks about a tree with fruit. Adam and Eve ate of all the trees before they ever sinned. We ate before sin. We'll eat after sin. We're not going to eat because we have to. We're going to eat because we want to, for the pure enjoyment of it. If you're human, you enjoy eating. If you're human. Amen. That's right. So it's going to be good. It's going to be wonderful. I know it won't be cornbread and beans and taters. I don't know what it'll be, but it'll be better. I start to say just as good. It'll be better. It'll be better. No wonder Paul said, "I'm a being pulled in two directions here." He said, "I know I need to stay here and preach the gospel and write to all these churches I've started, but he said, I feel a tug from another country.
Yes.
Little boy said, they said, how do you know your kite's up there? You can't see it. He said, I know, but I feel the tug. I ain't never been to heaven, but I feel a tug sometimes, don't you?
Yes.
Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to depart, but I know it's more needful that I abide here, but I'm just going to leave that up to the Lord. Christians are not morbid. They don't want to die. Nobody wants to die, but they do want to go to heaven.
Yes.
That's not the same thing as wanting to die. Nobody likes to think about what might lie between now and death, of the sorrow, the pain that we may face. We don't know all that. But thank God we're not afraid to die. We're not afraid to die. So Paul said, I'm in the middle here. I'm in between. I'm eager to set my sail, but I know I need to stay here and help y'all. So he just didn't worry about it. He knew who he belonged to, and he knew the Lord would take care of all that. I like what he says in the 20th verse. He said, I just want to magnify the Lord while I'm here. Whether that be by life or by death. You see, the Lord's awful small in a lot of people's view. And we come along like a magnifying glass to magnify Him, to make Him look bigger. And when we serve the Lord like we should, people see Him and He's made bigger in their estimation. Isn't it wonderful that you can magnify the Lord? And make people see Him and understand what He's like and how good He is? That's probably one reason you got saved, is you looked at Christians and said, that looks good. He's different than I am. I need that. Somebody was magnifying the Lord. I guarantee you 99% of all people that get saved are influenced by some Christian who magnifies the Lord. Yeah. Well, that was Paul's desire, his prayer, and his purpose. However that might be achieved, he says, even if it means my death. And so he committed himself to the will of God. He knew where he was going. I don't know if you've ever studied other religions. I don't really encourage it. Maybe just to the extent that you realize just how superior Christianity is to everything else the devil's got going. There's nothing else out there that says, believe this and you can go to heaven. No. No, if you were a Roman Catholic, the very best you could do is die, I forget what to call it, in a state of grace and burn in purgatory for centuries. That's the best they have to offer you. And all the other cults and even a lot of the mainline religions tell you you can be saved today and lose it, or you never know till you die if you're one of the frozen chosen. Well, I'm glad for the unadulterated truth of God's Word that says, believe this gospel and you're just as sure for heaven as if you were already there. No, so, sky blue, everlasting, life changing. It comes with the guarantee you have a reservation. That's the Bible word, reserved, 1 Peter 1. Only Christians know they're going to heaven. Everybody else is hoping. And the rest of them don't even believe in heaven. It really amazes me when in some city they open up a Unitarian Universalist church, and I use that word as loosely as you possibly can. If you're not far from Tate Boulevard, you've seen that sign, Unitarian Universalist. If you didn't believe no more than they do, why would you put up a sign? Why would you have a church if you didn't believe there was a God, you didn't believe in heaven, didn't believe in hell, didn't believe the Bible? Why would you even have a church if there's no heaven, no hell, no God, and no Bible? Why even pay somebody for your sign if you don't believe nothing? Well, I thank God for the Bible, for Christianity, that says you can be saved and know it and go to heaven one day. Amen. No other religion guarantees heaven. Some people say, well, you Christians, you born-again Christians, you brag all the time. Well, we do. We're bragging on Jesus. He saved us, did a good job, saved us the uttermost. Amen. We're bragging on Him. We're not bragging on us. We know we deserve to go to hell. We're accused of being presumptuous. Yes, sir. Well, let me ask you something. Is it presumptuous to take somebody at their word? If somebody said to you, come to my house tomorrow night, 5 o'clock, eat supper, and you appeared at their house tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, would you be presumptuous? Or would you just be taking somebody at their word? Well, when Jesus Christ said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, and you tell people you have everlasting life, are you being presumptuous? Or are you just taking him at his word?
Amen.
You're just taking him at his word. That's not presumption. We're accused of presumption. I guess because I worked with Catholics for many years, but they say it's a sin, the sin of presumption, to say you're going to heaven. You're not allowed to say you're going to hell either. That's the sin of despair. Well, that's religion. If you, all these guys that say that Catholics are Christians are some of the biggest liars in the history of the world. They are not Christians, have never heard the gospel. And we need to love them and tell them the truth and beware of this whole ecumeniac movement. Amen. Well, I'm done. 23 says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. If you went to heaven right now, the attraction is Jesus. He's the object of worship. Everybody there is talking about Jesus, telling how they got saved, how good the Lord was to them. There's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit upon the throne in pure worship day and night. There's nobody in heaven bragging on himself. And to depart is to be with Christ. Right now we're in Christ, we're for Christ. But we're absent from Him because we're present in the body. But when we die, thank God, we'll be absent from these bodies, present with the Lord, and we'll be with Him forever, and it'll never ever end. No wonder it says it's far better. If there was a community where you could go and the weather was always good and your neighbors were always good and you didn't have any bills and you never got sick and there was no devil and you never got old, everybody in the world would want to move to that community, wouldn't it? There's a place like that, and it's called heaven, and anybody can go, and it's bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is say yes. Right. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? He is going to be supremely glorified in how good He's going to be to a bunch of low down, sorry, good for nothing sinners.
Amen.
He's going to put us up in a mansion. Amen?
Amen.
And that's going to bring glory to Him for being so good to people who deserve hell.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
That's exactly what He's going to do. That's what He promised He's going to do. So I'm saying you don't have to be afraid to die. You can walk through the valley of the shadow without fear, for He's with you. Blessed are those that die in the Lord. They rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I like what Vance Havner said. His wife Sarah died early on a Sunday morning, real early. He came to church that morning. They said, Brother Vance, we didn't think you'd be at church today. Your wife died this morning. He said, where could I go but to the Lord? Somebody said, I'm sorry you lost your wife. He said, I didn't lose her. I actually know where she is. Amen. If you know where something is, you hadn't lost it. Amen. I like what B.L. Moody said. He said, one day you're going to read in the paper that I've died. He said, don't you believe that? He said, I'll be more alive at that moment than I've ever been in all of my life.
Amen.
And when he was dying, his last words were, Heaven is opening, earth is receding, and God is calling me.
That's
a pretty good way to go, isn't it? Is that a good way to go? I'd like to die like this. I'd like to be able to, just before the angels carry me away, I'd like for them to have to stand there for a minute and listen to me sing. And I'd sing, "Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand. Now bear me away on your snowy wings to my eternal home. Bear me away on your snowy wings to my eternal home." I hope that's the way it happens. If it don't, I won't be mad. But if it does, when we get to heaven, I'll tell you that it happened. Amen. But I got my wish. You can always put your wish in, can't you? Amen. Every time I've seen a Christian die, standing by their bedside, I think of that song right there. Every time. Sometimes you're almost aware when the angels come in and get ready to take them away. I have felt an otherworldly presence. And it wasn't a person. I don't know about all that. I just know that when you leave this world and you're saved, you're with Him, which is far, far better. Amen. I thank you for your attention. I appreciate the Bible. Amen. Let's come around the altar. We'll dismiss in a word of prayer tonight.